Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 64, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, and what's trending on Googs and social meds. It's Monday, January 7th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. The Jackhammer, and I'm thrilled to be joined at, not as always, but finally, once again, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I'm Miles so hard and got so far, but in the end, my Edie got me madder.
Right? Thank you to Trite Gang at Just TVZ AKAs. This, I just noticed this account just hitting me with a lot of AKAs while I was gone. And look, I know I'm back. I owe y'all a proper fire AK, but I literally just came off of the fucking plane.
Rolled off the
plane.
And
I was like, yo, I think I can come in today. So I did. But because I love y'all, so thank you.
Limped in from the tunnel like Willis Reed. Yeah. We were in need. Miles was like, I can do it. I think I can do it, you guys. Mm-hmm. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the second face on Mount Zeitmore, Mr. Billy Wayne David!
Good morning.
Hey.
No hey, S on that? I thought you just said David.
Oh, was like there David. An S? I thought it was David, Billy Wayne David.
David. I like that. Is that's that not correct? That's how tired you were. You're like, I'm going to go with Linkin Park.
This yeah.
Like, this is good. We're like already right. Oh, he's not. He's not in his right mind. Because you like sold it in a way, too. Yeah. That I was like, this is. He's.
No, I mean, last time when I was in Europe, I had like a 1 minute rap verse that I did. So, look, I'm going to work on that. And you'll have that soon. Mm.
Do you feel tired? Or do you feel like kind of like.
Nah, I mean, you know, I slept a lot on the plane.
Well, Billy Wayne, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to talk about a couple of the things we're talking about today. First up, we're going to check in with super producer Anna Hosnier because she just came fresh off her Bachelor draft. And we have a great clip from one of her picks. I think her second round draft pick is really out here, keeping us on our toes in the Bachelor viewing community. We're going to talk about Ellen DeGeneres kind of telling Kevin Hart what he was going to do with regards to his Oscar hosting gig. We are going to talk about the right losing their mind over motherfucker gate. And not just the right, super producer Nick Stuff, not thrilled with that development. We're going to talk about the government shutdown, Trump's various appearances last week, the one at the end of the week in the Rose Garden. We're going to talk about that R. Kelly special everyone's talking about.
And oh, I haven't seen it.
I know, it just came out, but it's apparently 3 hours of just nonstop horror. And then we're going to talk about the Golden Globes.
But the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Then we're going to talk about the Golden Globes, which has already happened in your world, has not happened in ours. We're just going to take a look at that, talk about what Miles is going to be wearing, and also take a deep dive into the politics of the new Mary Poppins movie, because it's fucked up. But first, Billy Wayne, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, okay. I had to look up how Pitchfork did their ratings.
How they do it?
I still don't understand it.
Was there even an explanation?
Not really.
Right.
If you dive deep into the internet, there's like theories.
There's theories, but it's not like there's some kind of like.
Well, they're not really even saying. No, that's right. So it's like.
They're like, yeah, there's an 8 point.
It's because my friend Chris Crofton makes fun of his record's amazing and it got an amazing review, but he was like, now he's just like, I'm better than all these huge bands.
Right.
And I was like, I do think you are.
Right.
Then great.
But like, I didn't understand what that was until he was making fun of it.
Right.
I think that says a lot about me. That's been a thing for a long time. I've been like,
I was always curious how they gave the mics out in the Source magazine for rap albums.
Yeah. That was.
I think Benzino, who was the editor, actually gave his own album 5 mics once.
And that was the end of the Source being a big deal.
Yeah.
But that was a big deal for a while.
If you got five mics. Yeah. I remember like when Aquem and I got it, everyone was like, yo.
But it
that
was,
deserved it.
Yeah.
That deserved like even all of us were like, yeah, well,
that deserved it. And how do we get it?
I don't even know the formula.
We don't know.
But it worked.
5 months.
But that was when it was like, because that was an album that they wouldn't typically, people were like, oh, that's a Southern rap album. You wouldn't expect the Source to be that into that. But that was when it was at its peak of relevance and they were actually calling out good shit. But then they eventually started giving like Nas's 4th album 5 mics or something. Like, not great Nas.
Well, because like in the beginning, they did People's Instinctive Travels, Tribe. They gave De La Soul, America's Illmatic. Most Wanted, Ice Cube. Illmatic, Life After Death, The Blueprint. Yeah, Stillmatic is the one where you're like, okay.
Wait a second here. Anyways, what is something you think is underrated, Billy Wayne?
My homie Ron Funches.
Yeah.
I think people love his voice, but they don't understand how truly funny and talented he is.
He's got a special coming up, right?
Last Friday.
Oh.
It's coming out.
It's out.
Yes.
It's already out.
You can buy the album on iTunes, but it's on Comedy Central, so who knows how you can stream it.
Okay. But yeah, that dude is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And what is something you think is overrated?
I was about to be really mean to something, but okay, how about that? Being really mean for no reason is overrated.
That's
what I was.
Well, why? Who are you going to be mean to right now?
See? I'm not going to go there.
He almost got you.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think getting caught up in these machines and devices that human beings get caught up in, we forget that they're human beings.
Mm-hmm. Machines? Like, devices?
Yes, like these media machines.
And got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they suck people up before, and turn them into bad people before the, you know, and you have to think about like, oh, these people didn't know what they were getting into.
You mean in terms of like in the pursuit of success in an industry or things like that, that kind of a machine? Or
yeah, and what they get into it for and then what they end up chasing.
Right.
So I think sometimes that.
You're talking comedy, you're talking music, just talking all media.
When they stop chasing what they got into it for and start chasing this weird fame dragon tail.
Right.
So
it's overrated to flame those people.
I think to a certain degree.
Right.
Yeah, because you forget.
Yeah, that they've been kind of head fucked in the process.
Yeah, and they're addicts at some degree too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
weird
thing.
See, that's the benefit of doing these podcasts. We'll never have that. I'm just chasing more discount codes for Nike.com.
There you go.
That's amazing.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, I know this one. That drugs and alcohol make you creative.
They do not.
They do not. Now, they can inspire creativity,
mm-hmm.
but they're not the device that makes you creative.
Right.
Or makes you talented, or makes you work hard at your craft. It's that's a myth.
I think they can also help with the experience of living inside a creative mind.
Yes, like, without a doubt.
They can like their relieve tools. Stress a little bit and like help you get outside of your own head a little bit.
Do you see people who are like, I need to drink to become creative?
Fucking A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or other drugs.
Or I need to get dumb high. That's the only way I'm funny or something
That's kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially with comedy because, I mean, that does, you know, drinking and then getting in front of people.
Right.
You know, like I used to even need to drink just to like socially be around people. Like,
yeah.
Because
I think that's the whole reason that it started.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think
try this.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit.
I don't mind you right now.
Do you see this? We actually like being around each other.
This is fun. This is good
man.
Juice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance to Uptown Funk, I think.
Here we go.
Yeah, and there's theories that's the whole reason that society started was because you needed like a whole social group, a whole social order to brew alcohol. You don't need all that stuff to like farm stuff, but to do all the different steps of brewing alcohol, you need a society. And I mean, it's important. It's an important thing to bring people together, but there are also ways of doing it that don't involve getting drunk.
Yeah. Well, every species,
yeah,
they figured out like tries to make itself high.
Yeah,
even babies spin around. Remember the first time you spun around and around and around? You're like, this is. I'm gonna do it again.
No, my parents sent me to rehab
for spinning.
Yeah,
that's a tough rehab.
The movie Spun was actually supposed to be about me spinning, not you know. Party drugs.
Babies bang their head against stuff because they get the sense that, and my son's teething right now, and he just can't leave it alone because you get, once the pain comes, you get that little hit of, you know, whatever the natural chemical in your blood is that like gives you, it's like a natural drug.
I used to like bite my tongue off.
Yeah, me too.
Like that, like in the corner, I'd be like, oh shit, this fucking hurts, but I love this shit.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, we got to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier on this mic. Get up in there.
Get up off of that thing.
Hi.
I'm earning. Oh, so sorry to bother you.
God, there's electricity coming in that mic.
Shooting through the room.
So super producer Anna Hosnier, you left the office for 3 hours yesterday to engage in
no, I didn't.
What is known as a bachelor fantasy draft. Explain to us.
You work on a bachelor podcast. What's the bachelor podcast called?
No.
That's not on this network. What's it called again?
It's called Will You Accept This Rose with Arden Marine.
Arden Marine.
Okay. Yeah. So if you didn't know, I host a bachelor podcast, whatever. This new year, it's Colton the Virgin is the bachelor.
Player, right?
Yeah, he's former football player, current bachelor.
So he was runner up on the Bachelorette?
No, he was cut fourth. He was the fourth person cut.
What's the formula again? If you're just cut, it doesn't matter how deep you go. It's just like if you're cut later in a later stage, you get to be the bachelor.
I think the formula is the focus group who is popular.
No, but he was one of the least popular. People were pissed he got picked.
Oh, really?
Because he's a virgin. He was boring. All he does is cry. He clearly doesn't seem like he's ready for a relationship. And
there is a subsect
that believes he's closeted.
He was the fourth. He came in fourth or he was the fourth person cut?
He was the fourth. He came in fourth place.
Okay.
I also think he benefited from The Bachelor in Paradise, that girl from Arkansas
Tia.
Who just kept going, Colton.
Well, I believe he went
Colton.
Colton. Yeah, that is true. That's a real thing.
Where's Colton?
The first episode was her just being like,
Colton shows
oh, God, Colton. It's really true. It was a... They fucked her over. Her edit was that she's a psycho who's obsessed with Colton.
Colton.
Yeah.
Like, is he coming?
Was he not on Bachelor in Paradise?
No. So basically what happened was he got cut right before.
I sound like if a deer could talk.
Yeah, she is.
If a deer could talk.
This is what a deer would sound like, y'all.
But you know what's always funny when they're like that and they're like, I got my PhD in social work. And you're like, what
it's all learned as fuck. That's one of the reasons I left. And they and right. they people do it. The old ladies are the worst because they're like, hey, how you do? Like, get away from me, old lady. I know your fucking game.
Mikey.
So basically what happened, he came in fourth place. He was cut before the fantasy suites because he's a virgin. And he literally goes up to Chris Harrison, who's the host, and goes, what do I do? And Chris Harrison's like, you're a grown ass man. Figure it out. You don't need to lose your virginity on TV, sir. It came out that Tia, who was a contestant on Ari's season, him and Tia had had a relationship previous to the season, and so Tia was still obsessed with him and told Becca, so that kind of helped in Becca deciding to kind of send him on his way.
I knew all these names.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Becca was the bachelorette that cut him and kind of was like, Tia's my friend. I don't want to do this.
So anyways, the bachelor this year is a virgin.
Yes, so that was the whole thing.
A former football player. And one. So you draft various
Yeah, so we do a draft on our podcast where we go through just the images and the bios, which is truly the most It's fucked up. We're fucked up people on this episode. We go through just by their, literally their looks and them being like, my favorite color's yellow. That's actually one of them. It's like, that's not interesting. And then we pick our top three, we pick our top crazy, and we pick our drunk on the first night.
Oh, nice.
So who are your top three?
So my number one is Hannah G. My number two is Bree, who we'll get to. And my number three is Kaylin. And my top crazy is Aaron.
What does top crazy mean?
It just means they're going to be like psycho the whole season and everyone's going to hate them. Like all the other girls are going to be like,
Are there points you get for doing specific things?
No, we're just...
It's just everybody because
you don't know.
Like,
eventually one person will probably emerge as someone everyone unanimously agrees is the crazy one.
Yeah. And then my drunk on the night is Erica, who in her bio is self-described as the nut. So she's going to probably be wasted the first night.
Tell us about pick number two now. Because a lot of people were tweeting me about this. I never saw this video, but what's going on?
So Bree, a clip dropped of her during her when she walks out of the limo to introduce herself to Colton.
And I think we have a clip,
yes,
don't we?
She has a gimmick that is... mind-blowing. Nick, roll the tape.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You got a nice accent. Where are you from?
The accent, it's Australian. I was hoping that you're kind of a sucker for accents.
I
didn't know what you think about it.
I love it. I'll see you inside, all right?
Okay, all sounds right, good. I'm not really Australian, but you have to do what you can to stand out.
Yo. It's an interesting choice. That is a...
Yeah,
that's
flagrant.
Yeah. Move.
Yeah, the vaccine is Australian. So
that's like going to the NFL combine and bringing like a baseball.
But also,
I'm gonna stand out.
The lack of her voice afterward was just like, fuck you. I don't care what I did was wrong, and I'm not sorry for it.
She's not here to make friends, it would seem.
The thing you're starting to realize is these girls are now at that age where they literally grew up watching the show. They understand the formula. And I'll tell you what Bree is doing. Bree is saying, I don't really give a shit about Colton, but I'm here to act the fool enough where I end up on Paradise, and then boom, my Instagram followers go up, and I'm the spawn con queen with my thirst traps, and I'm literally selling sugar bear hair, pill, gummy bear shit, and diet tea. And that's the plan. And you see it from day one. You know who's acting a fool to get on Paradise because they understand
Drop
the
bomb
formula.
On that one. Yeah. Jameela Jamil would be very disappointed in her. Pushing that old dumb shit.
Yeah,
it's like some of those real world road rules people, though. Like, for a while, that was their job, was going on those, like, weird game
shows. The challenge.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, CT, I think he was living off of that for many years.
Yeah.
But what's he up to now? Like, what does one do? What does a CT do after that career? Is he just like, now I sell insurance?
CrossFit is involved.
He's also probably a motivational speaker. They all find a way to be like, let me motivate you to do what I did.
Yeah, I started as a guy from Boston, you know, and, you know, when DM, you know, when she got the cancer. It was really tough.
But I was born with this bone structure, which really helped.
All right. Well, thank you, Super Producer Anna Hosnia. We will be checking in with you as Bree continues to make news in the world of The Bachelor.
Okay, I can't
I'm
wait
not
when
really
the...
a lady either.
She's like, I'm a shapeshifter.
I hope she wins.
And then just other TV news. Ellen, at the end of last week, had Kevin Hart on her show.
On her shoulder. He's a
tiny
little man. I'm
yes. And
he's a great talent. Please cut that out. He's very powerful.
And she basically was trying to, you know, make it so that he would come back as the Oscar host. She was trying to, you know, walk through the controversy with him And, you know, she was making some valid points that, like, he had apologized 10 years ago and, you know, they were walking through it. And he got into, like, a little bit of a weird thing. She was basically like, look, we want you to come back and host the Oscars. Like, everybody wants you to do it. Like, please do it. And he was like, nah, because these people are, like, these trolls. If I come back, the trolls win. And then she just was like, well, okay, I hear you. I'm not going to accept that. You are hosting the Oscars. Let's go to break. It was just like the biggest, she just like big dicked him so much. Whoa. It was really, I don't know. Ellen has a impressive aura about her. She just basically is like, I am making this so.
Willful.
Yeah, willful is a good way of putting it. I think we have a clip from the show.
You have grown. You have apologized. You're apologizing again right now. You've done it. Don't let those people win. Host the Oscars. We have to take a break. We'll be back.
So that was after he objected to her. She had already said that. He objected. He was like, well, you know, these people, though, I'm afraid of being attacked. They're going to attack me, which they are. If he hosts the Oscars, there's going to be like another.
And he can't come out and say, I have more to lose by doing right. this than not doing it.
Right, exactly.
The smarter move for me as a business person and as a human being is yeah. like not walking into this trap.
Yeah. And she was like, uh-huh, okay, yeah, I hear you. We still want you to host the Oscars. Everybody cheer, we're going to break.
You're in my house.
Did he actually apologize, though?
It's basically he said he apologized back when it happened and took the joke out of his rotation.
I don't know. I mean, I remember when he went on like Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, it didn't seem like he wasn't really trying to apologize.
Right.
And I get, though, I like the idea, though, that, you know, there has to be a way for people to redeem themselves, for sure. Because you can do shit in the past and you show growth or whatever. But I haven't seen the interview, but from what I read, it didn't seem like Ellen really pushed him to like demonstrate any kind of growth in this interview. More so like, hey, I think it's fine.
Right.
And
well, I mean, she is as somebody who is like a huge person for the gay community and, you know, what came out before like a lot of people.
Sure.
Wanted her to, I'm sure. She talks about that in her latest special that like a lot of people who made money off her were like, no. Why don't you go back to just pretending for a little while? That she was kind of saying, all right, I'm going to stand out here and, you know, say that we as a community can forgive you. And I think when he said he wasn't going to do the Oscars anymore, he also apologized at that time again. So I don't know. Like I do think his tone was weird, like during the interview, because he started making it more about like people were trying to attack him, and it was all about an attack on him and not the issues. So I get both. I get your point. I get what she's trying to say as well. But it's just funny that she.
It's incredibly layered though, because it's like I know comedians that. When they were younger, had bits making fun of homeless people, and then as they got older and had more experience in life, realized like, oh, we're all like one bad decision away from being that person.
Yeah, right.
But when they started doing stand-up at like 20, you don't understand that. You're like, why would you do that? Don't be, you know.
Right.
So yeah. Being hailed for that growth and then apologizing. But also, it's a weird... What it is it's two business people having a conference.
Right.
And it's not about art and it's not about any of these issues. It's about money at this weird point when you put him on the spot to do these things.
Right.
I think it's a weird power dynamic more than anything else.
Yeah, that's what I found most notable about the conversation was like it wasn't clear what they had agreed to ahead of time, but it did seem like she was just like, yeah, well, here's where we're leaving it. You should do the Oscars and it's on you.
All right. Well,
yeah. Super producer Nick Stumpf just asked what's in it for her, and I don't know.
I mean, we're all talking about people, it.
Other than that people are...
And it happened on her show.
And I think some people were saying that they wanted her to host in because he wasn't hosting. So maybe she wants to take her name out of that.
Or I don't know. Or she's trying to speak for the entire LGBTQ community as by being Ellen. But I know people who are in like the black queer community who are like, why don't you apologize to black queer people too? Because a lot of his comedy is like, you know, is entrenched in sort of culturally this idea of being homo. I don't know. I have to see the whole thing, but it seemed like
everyone's in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Ellen came out when it wasn't cool and did a lot of grandiose things for a lot of and made a lot of strides for people that didn't want her to, but she bettered everyone else's lives for it. So there's probably an ego there that she has that's earned or unearned where she was like, listen, this is getting out of hand.
Right.
And I'm sure like some of the attacks at Kevin Hart or whatever were get weird and personal.
Right.
Where it's just like, listen, that was 10 or 15 years ago. I was a fucking idiot kid.
Right.
Talking about this bravado. Look at me. I'm 5 foot, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do, and this is an act.
Right.
And then people taking what he said and taking it on their own thing and making it about their agenda. And then he's a lightning rod, which comes with the territory of being that big and famous.
Right.
So that's another thing we're talking about is two large entities having a sit-down conversation deciding what's good for culture, which is a weird thing. It's two giant egos, which is a weird thing to do when they're speaking for so many millions of people. I think it's very, it's a strange, it's just strange. And also the Oscars are strange where it's like, it's clear that acting is an art form and it's a craft and these people care about it deeply, but they're also egomaniacs. So they want everyone in the country to care about these art films that they don't give a fuck about.
Right.
And then they're like, well, we should put popular films in there. So we reward them. We're like, no, they already have a reward. They made billions of dollars.
Right. Sure. Yeah, the Oscars still don't have a host.
Yeah, so, I'm available. Right. I'll do it for year.
There you go.
Let's have you and Jamie Loftus do it.
That would be fucking great.
It's 30 minutes long, and they pulled the plug.
It's just
a power move.
I don't know, because I don't know.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't know?
I don't think his apology is he's apologizing.
It's not sincere.
It's not sincere. That's why I'm not convinced, and it's a little strange to me. When you say, I already apologized, you know, right. It's like just sort of like, I said the thing that I have to do to move this thing forward rather than
magic word.
I need to actually demonstrate growth and understanding. And you can do that to a certain extent. And I don't think he needs to like carry this cross forever. And that's where I'm like, I feel like with Ellen, she could have asked him some tough questions or like been a little more like, Let me press you a little bit about this. And for him to be like, you know what? You're right, blah, 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 blah. Then her just saying, you've already apologized. Don't let these people win.
I mean, I don't, you know.
That's where I'm like, what?
I just don't understand. Like, he already said he didn't want to do it. He already apologized. Why is she bringing it back up?
Because, and that's the question that Nick is asking is what's in it for her? Because it seems like she has a vested interest in getting him to host. And she did, I mean, the conversation was like, and you and I have had meals together since this where we've talked through this. So she was like making reference to the fact that he had done the stuff that you're asking him to do in the public. So she's like saying, yeah, you've like worked through that with me in the interview, but it's not like it. You still need him to say it.
That was like when Roseanne was like, I know this black activist who knows my heart.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. Uh-huh.
I think Roseanne's just fucked up.
Yeah.
More than she's a racist, if I'm being honest.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think she...
Has anybody asked her to host the Oscars?
I mean... I would tune in. I would tune in for that.
Would be amazing.
This is a monologue I'm excited about.
And apparently Kevin Hart is considering, maybe by the time you hear this, he will have accepted the job once again. So, yeah, we'll see.
I mean, Ellen makes shit happen.
Yeah, Ellen gets it done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And the right is losing it over Rashida Tlaib using the word motherfucker and saying that it's time to impeach Trump right away, or that she's going to Washington to impeach the motherfucker. It was after she got sworn in. It was her at a, you know, a rally type, like, small event with her supporters. People were, you know, it was an energetic atmosphere, and I don't know. It seemed like she was just having fun, but the right is freaking out. It's the top story, or it was the top story on Fox News.
I can say
at the end of last week,
as a stand-up comedian who has performed in front of a bunch of different types of audiences. Old people hate the F word.
Yep.
Right. It's a scientific fact. And I say that
through
knowing what I'm saying. It is an experiment I have done. I say the F word in my act sometimes. I was playing these performing arts centers in the Northwest, and there's a bunch of older people that have season tickets. So you go in, and so I do this thing. And I do my F words, and I could feel it every time I said the F word, lose them.
People were like just gasping.
Not even gasping, but you could just be just like the energy would just be like
drop a little.
Wish you wouldn't have said that. Wish you wouldn't have said that.
Huh. Wait, like for example, what? Like, you're just being like, and this fucking thing.
Yeah, and like, it's in a lot of those bigger rooms, you do, like, you get in a rhythm. So when I use it, it is for a reason.
Right,
it's
right,
not
right.
Just to be like I'm not in a bar being like, listen, fuckers. Right. Where they're like, I like this guy. But so I could feel it. You know, you could feel it in the room. And then I remember working on a golf course in high school and hearing old men say, goddamn. All the time. So right. I never heard him say the F word. So I was like, huh. So the next night I was playing another performing arts center. I was like, I'm just going to say goddamn and say the F word. And did that and just crushed
it. It was. Yeah.
And then it was just like clear. I was like, oh, if you play an older crowd, don't use the F word. You can say goddamn.
Yeah.
That's funny because that's what Nancy Pelosi was saying. She was specifically drawing the line as a generational thing. She was like, it's probably a generational thing. I don't like that word. I don't say that word.
Right.
But it's nothing worse than what the president has said.
Yeah, right. And she said something, she's like, I'm not in the business of censorship.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I get why they're freaking out, mostly because
they know their base. They know it'll scare them. They're like, she said motherfucker.
Yeah, and also, like, they want to impeach him, you see?
Yeah.
It's the deep state fucking conspiracy. And look, I totally understand all the desire to.
They do want to impeach him.
Yeah, well, for sure.
So
and I think all the desire is, I think, rightly placed to do that. And I think the other side of it is, you know, a lot of people worrying about it, what that does for the you know, how the partisan divide that grows even deeper. Because on one side, you know, like if you're really trying to balance it all out, you want to say, well, you want him to go out because it's undeniably the best thing for the country. And people, even his supporters, are to kind of be like, eh, shit, maybe this guy does need to go. But I don't know if, like, you know, do we need to be so sensitive to those people when we're looking at, you know, the government being shut down this fucking long over something so stupid and all these other things going on? It's a balancing act. Because I know every time, like, you know, Pelosi's been like, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I just feel like the right's use of language is hilarious to me. What use of language upsets them, usually? Like, when you redefine torture, when you change those words to...
Right.
Enhanced interrogation.
Right.
That's fine because those words are, because there's no F word or anything that makes you feel weird.
Right.
Because you changed the word that made you feel weird. But if you say motherfucker that has emotion about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, hey.
They're like, they're angry. They're angry and they're crazy. Hey. They're crazy and angry. Yeah.
You haven't done or hurt anyone, but the language you're using is emotion.
Right, right, right.
And we don't do that. Now, we will put you in a cage.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But we'll call that
or make you feel like you're
camp.
Drowning. Mm-hmm. So you'll just tell us anything we want you to, because that's what that really does.
Right, right.
So.
Well, it's funny because even when, like, Jane Curtin, I think, was on Fox, and she said, oh, like, I hope the Republican Party dies in 2019. Like, right. Sort of talking about how they're just deteriorating. And then the next day they had someone come on to be like, I mean, I think she actually wishes death on the members of the Republican Party. And this is where the left is right now. Right. The mask has come off.
Right.
And they want... Republicans
they're
to actually to physically die.
They're persecuting you.
Right. Right.
They're persecuting you.
And it's,
they're persecuting you that, like your lord.
They
very clear.
You know, there was an attempted, you know, outrage on Thursday because the right released a video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing, and they wanted to do, like, the, you know, the war on the new brown congresswoman.
Damn, Sodom and Gomorrah happening on that
right.
roof.
That, and
dancing around to
that
the music.
That didn't work out. And so, in a way, this kind of went and filled that hole that they were trying to, you know, fill with.
You could say in her britches she had dirty thoughts when she's dancing around.
Right.
Now she's in charge of.
And then Footloose got trending.
Yeah.
On then, Twitter because of all that shit.
Yeah. But it just seemed like a rookie mistake, like her not realizing that she can't just go to the back room of a restaurant and say we're going to impeach a motherfucker and not have it be Fox front news, because she is now a congressperson and, you know, specifically somebody in the crosshairs of Fox News because she's not a white man. And that's the only people they want to be in power. And then, you know, super producer Nick Stumpf was pointing out that he was kind of on board with the getting annoyed by this at the very least, just, you know, that we need a return to people behaving like adults and not letting Trump drag everybody down into the muck of him, you know, just saying shit like this and acting like turning it into a brawl where we just are going to impeach him no matter what. And it's this side versus that side, that maybe like the left needs to take the higher ground and be like very rigid and ideological about like being the adult in the room, because
yeah, but I get why people are so, you know, you're saying we're going to impeach the motherfucker. You have kids dying in custody and shit like right. that over their policies. And this isn't just some like, well, let's maybe wait the clock out.
Yeah.
And see what happens, because that's the other fucking terrifying thing is like every time it gets hot, he's going to do some. It's like been like, oh, let me distract people with like some wacky foreign policy decision.
Right.
And then when does that get to a point when, you know, we're overly considerate of what the optics are, and then suddenly we're in some actually terrible fucking situation, which I hope doesn't happen. But yeah, you know,
yeah,
I think it could be one of those things too, where it's like, I don't, if it riles up your base and you need to say motherfucker, and you're representing a certain, and you're representing your people, and you know how to communicate to them to get them to do the things that in their community that spans out like a virus and whatever. I mean, it was Hope and Change in 2008.
Right.
And everyone
right.
got the fuck up for that shit. But if it's, hey, let's get this motherfucker right. and that's what he needs to say. Like, I don't, language I can get past. And yes. I know it's, I'm a comedian. So it really, I have to watch my language around normal people a lot, because I just say things that, it's, I realize that most society does not. You just see it on their face. Like, why would you say that? I'm like, why would you not say that?
right.
But I don't think saying motherfucker is dropping down to their level. I think it is communicating an emotion about, like, we are tired of this.
Yeah.
And also, we need to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to make him stop doing what he's doing, because it's clear it's not an agenda. It's just about him,
mm-hmm.
and people are using him and his bullshit for their agenda. I think the GOP is definitely doing that. But yeah. I think only he gives a fuck about him, which is more dangerous than the right, because the right, the GOP, will keep the system.
Yeah.
They won't dismantle the system to save themselves.
Right.
They'll just take from the system, which is their whole operating, and so fucking same with the left. Anybody in power is going to take a little bit. It's fucking
right.
proven. But I'm saying what's more dangerous is someone that only cares about himself truly and will dismantle our whole system. So that, you need to cut the head off that motherfucker right now. I'd rather have Pence in there being like, we got to shock some gay people for a month. And then we get him out because he's involved with some
right.
shit.
Right, right. Well, yeah, who knows?
And then whoever's next.
Yeah.
And then President Pelosi.
But we need to, there needs to be action done. And if we need to say, fuck you, motherfucker, to yeah. get the action rolling.
Yeah, well, and I think also for her, she was campaigning on that too. And like, that's her talking to the people who
you're
elected
in the Bronx?
Her to put her office. Yeah.
People
yeah.
speak different in the Bronx.
Yeah. Right.
They're not necessarily going to punch you, but they... It's like hearing Vietnamese people have a conversation in Vietnamese. You're like, are they mad at each other? Like, no, that's just the tone they
that's
use.
That's the energy.
That's a, it's like, it's fine.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just, you know, Nick who's making this point, obviously. Most of the establishment Democrats are saying the same thing, that, you know, we need to calm everything down. We don't need this. You know, this is a bad look because it's going to heighten the tensions while we're gathering facts. And like, that's ultimately what needs to happen in order to impeach him, is to get all the facts.
But, oh, so the establishment wants to quieten everybody down.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Do you so believe they're it? Like, hey, we're still in the pockets of Wall Street and everybody too, even though we're on the quote unquote left. So let's, but this new class isn't.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's why
so they can say motherfucker and be like, let's rile some people up.
Yeah.
But the establishment doesn't want to rile the masses up, because they're there to quell them down.
And I think that's why I find it, I find, you know, this story, and like, even though it is like, all right, it's, you know, political bickering, for some reason, like, usually I find political bickering energy sapping. Like this, I found sort of energizing, because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, these people don't seem like they're bought in on the whole bullshit. Like, it seems like we have sane people who are charismatic and just all turned to each other and were like,
well, there are proper ways to break the rules and there are proper ways to do this.
Right.
And the way you're doing it is very overt.
Right.
And that's they were just like,
wait, no.
I mean, yes, we all agree we need to impeach this motherfucker, but let's just say we're going to wait first.
Right. Because
that's how we do it, just to not make, you know, get the rights base all fired.
Oh, you don't understand how Washington works yet. See, we all have to eat in the same restaurants and go to the same places. And so when we meet, there's a decorum because we really don't care about what we're actually saying. We like the power and the money that comes with
right.
it. And that's why we can't speak to each other. Like
yeah.
that.
And I mean, there is a fetishization by the mainstream media of both sidesism. And it's important to keep in mind that the mainstream media eats at those same restaurants. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're also trying to be friends with both sides and getting scoops from both sides. And so they're
access.
Yeah.
Access. Yeah. Well, no, I think, again, like it's mostly about, you know, if he's impeached, right, that you'll further split the country where people are just going to totally be like, this side is completely after us. And that whole thing is that they want to try and if it goes that route, try and get as much of a buy-in from everyone as possible to try and have a more peaceful transition of power.
No, it's not going to be peaceful.
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets a little tricky, because even if he gets, you know, voted out in 2020, that there's still going to be those people who are on his team who will be like, no, this was all bullshit. You see, there are people who won't believe that he actually lost on the merits or something, because there's still this like kettle logic that people apply with him that, you know, he's done nothing wrong. This is all bullshit. So
yeah,
it speaks to the time that we're in right now, where it's, you know, where you have to kind of think, well, yes, objectively, it is the best thing for him to no longer be the president. But now people are considering the math of like, well, what are these other people going to think? How does that affect things moving forward, when it just doesn't seem like, oh, well, whoever's in, the opposition will do whatever they can to just impeach this president or whatever.
And this is going to be the debate that everybody, like the vast majority of America, is having all throughout 2019, because as the Democratic primary gets started and as more and more documents come out and it becomes clearer and clearer to everybody who's not his base that he needs to be out of the office, like how that happens and how that process goes is going to be the national debate for most of
this year. I think more people that are true conservatives want him gone too.
Yeah.
I do. I've seen it just lately in the last couple of months when I've been traveling. I've seen it personally in my family, where it's like these true conservatives they bought into the thing at the beginning.
Right.
And I was like, at first you're like, stop it. You're smarter than that. But then you see like, okay, I could see why on a certain day. And then they've come around where like, oh, this dude's a motherfucker.
Right.
You know
what I mean? He's a goddamn asshole.
He's an asshole. Yeah. This
shift
guy's
a goddamn
prick. Prick is a good old word. He's a prick. And only cares about himself. So that becomes clear to true conservatives at this point, because he's not making those true he's not, you know.
Right, and then the other people are just part of the cult of Trump.
Or evangelicals who want the rapture to happen.
Right.
So, I wish was a joke.
No, I know.
It's a real thing that's happened.
Yeah.
That's been going down since W.
Which, by the way, the rapture's not in
the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
That's not in there.
Very recent. Came from that HBO series, The Leftovers.
it's not in the fucking Bible.
Trump's approval rating is going, and he's now 12 points underwater in terms of approval versus disapproval, which is not good. Usually,
fun thing is, though, he takes a loss well. Just graceful.
He's everywhere. He was everywhere at the end of last week. He did like three straight meetings. He's not comfortable if he's not in the public eye, and it seems like he's not comfortable now, even when he's in the public eye.
And then went full jealous kid when he's like, surprise briefing.
Right.
So you guys stop talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Right. Exactly.
Come on. That's the thing where he said he was in the Oval Office, and then the press was like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. There's no Marine outside the door.
Because he doesn't understand the function of the whole thing. Right. So he's like, he doesn't even know how to break the rules right. You idiot.
Hey, but those guys have the nicest machine guns. Oh, my God. Just me and the machine gunners.
I think I would have been a pretty good general. That's what I think. Pretty good at it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And the R. Kelly special that I guess it's a 3-hour special. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen excerpts and it's very fucked up. Just seems like a very, if you've read about abusers, if you read any of the Sandusky shit,
you've seen Trapped in a Closet.
Yeah. it just seems like it's a textbook, like, dude who was manipulating everything around him to abuse underage people. All really horrifying shit. John Legend comes out as...
He was one of the few people who actually...
Once again, just the coolest dude. Yeah.
Well, as you said, he's like, I'm not trying to protect some motherfucking child rapist or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, so you're a sane person, because a lot of people just were not willing to go on the record. And
why?
That's the question, man.
I understand business in that to a certain degree, right? Yeah. But I don't understand
how that dude holds that much power in that industry.
And does he really?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I don't understand, the fear behind all that. Or does he know things about a lot of people?
Right.
And that's why it hasn't come. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. Because Jay-Z was specifically called out as somebody who did not go on the record. And I was wondering why that would be.
I think that's just...
because they had an album together.
And he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Well, somebody also was pointing out that he started dating Beyonce when she was underage.
Well, that's a solid point where I'd be like, you know what? I shouldn't talk about this.
Right, exactly.
He was dating Beyonce when she was underage?
That's what was said in The Office yesterday.
Whoa. Well, I don't know. Okay, so that's
that
rumor.
I just can't imagine
Beyonce being not Beyonce, though. Like, her in high school, I could just still picture her being like, Beyonce, come down the hall.
She was born a full adult.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's not true.
I feel like she materialized in the sunlight.
Yeah. Like, her
like
mama,
reverse Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like,
her
a
mama
pile
made
of
her out of glitter and shit.
All right. I can't accuse Jay-Z of dating underage women until
I don't want to be
we
part
have
of
more
that.
Confirmation. So we will take that off the record. And also, I don't want to say anything bad about R. Kelly. But no.
But that, John I don't Legend understand do that. Like,
well, people still really, you know, they still are fans. A lot of people, despite all that. And I don't know if they're...
I mean,
I think
Ignition.
Yeah, I mean...
It's like Thriller, where you're like, I know he probably... Like, we're all on the same page about Michael Jackson.
Right.
He just died before everyone really did something about it. Like, if Michael Jackson was alive around the last 2 years, mm-hmm. do you think he would have survived legally?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know enough about his charges, to be honest.
I mean, I know from my dad working with him that his take on seeing him from being, you know, working with him for like 6 years... Yeah. That he was just a really tortured person.
Without a doubt. No, I can't. Yeah, I'm not saying that. Like, that's not true. But I'm just saying, like, in all the stuff that's coming out in the last 2 years, you think Michael Jackson and the life he lived would have survived it?
I don't know.
I mean, look, Kobe's still out here. You know what I mean? And Michael Jackson's bigger than R. Kelly.
Yeah.
No, I agree. No,
and I think... And there's like, you know, the whole Michael thing, there's so much shit in both directions that could make you believe either side. Like, you know, when you're like...
No, and I'm not saying I believe either side, but I'm just saying...
No, I think... I don't know. I mean, that's a thing where you can tell. That's why I'm like, with Kobe, you still don't know.
Yeah. Right.
There's not a real... You know, people have forgotten a lot of
what
happened.
There wasn't a pattern, though, with Kobe.
Sure.
That helps.
Mm-hmm.
With that his, you know, with Michael, shit kept popping off, and he did have like what would be considered, if you were a child, an amusement park in a zoo, and if you were, I just like that argument. It's like if he was a pedophile, like he really did it up pretty good.
Right, he really used his fortune to do all the things that
would
one
attract
would do
to attract,
yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It's like if, let's say you wanted a bunch of pussy running around and your name is Hugh Hefner and you created a certain Neverland ranch, if you will.
Yeah. Of a grotto that stinks like shit.
Oh.
The grotto stinks like shit.
But there's a lure.
There's a lure to it. I've been in there and it stinks like shit.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, you're going to get a staph infection just by putting your foot in. A
lot of gross famous people been putting their stuff in.
At the same time, if your father chemically castrated you so you never went through puberty and were therefore always a child.
I have just recently heard this.
That is my
theory. Barry Gordy was like, yo, look, man, his voice is about to change. So if you want these checks to keep coming, you need to think about his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I
castrato. It's the oldest.
Stop thinking about this.
The oldest job in the book.
Yeah.
Or one of the oldest. Was the castrated male vocalist.
The eunuch. Right?
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
They were called
right?
castrados. Yeah.
Back in the day. There was that movie Farinelli about it. I remember my mom took me to see it as a kid, and I was like 6 years old or some shit when it came out. I'm like, what the fuck happened? And my mom's like, they cut his balls off.
Man, I got a terrible
and he's in an opium bath.
After we are done with this, I want to say. To
okay. So this past weekend, the Golden Globes happened.
I'm just going to say Andy Samberg did a great job.
Yes. And he's... one of the greats, Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh.
Yep.
Classic pairing.
That wardrobe malfunction? I can't believe we saw all of it.
I know. His whole dick and balls.
All of it.
I did not see that.
I would tell you guys more. Jewish, too. I would tell you guys more, but I'm too tired right,
right.
now.
Right. Yeah, Miles. How
My firsthand. Look.
How are the Globes,
we'll have
bro?
To leave that. We'll have to leave that for Monday, yeah. Wednesday.
Well, at least we will analyze one of the movies that was nominated and might have won. We'll see.
not spoil anything.
I don't want to spoil it because I know some of you have probably recorded the Golden Globes and are just waiting to watch them. So we won't talk about who won or didn't. So the new Mary Poppins movie, one of our writers, Jay McNabb, went and saw it. And he pointed out that there's kind of a weird political message.
Is it pro sugar for the medicine to go down?
Yeah, no, it's actually pro pharmaceutical industry.
Big pharma. Yeah,
they were like, it was not their fault. This whole opioid epidemic.
It's against the trans bathroom bill, right?
Yes.
No, we added sugar to Dilaudid because it helps it go down easier.
It's actually just a systematic point by point taking down of all the points made in Vice.
Oh,
yeah. No, but actually, so the original Mary Poppins actually had kind of a socialist message, and this movie kind of has the opposite of a socialist message. You know, first of all, instead of having like fairy godmothers and, you know, eccentric duchesses, it has like park keepers, zoo attendants, a street sweeper, policemen, butcher, confectioners, an old woman who feeds birds on the steps of the church. It's like all these low status people who are the magical, you know, people who teach the children lessons. And it also makes capitalism look fucked up. Like there's a point where the kid has like a tuppence, like some coins that he is inheriting, and he goes by the bank and like the old evil banker like tries to steal it from him and like tries to like wrestle it out of his hands, and then people see that and it like starts a basically like a riot where everybody's like, I want my money too if they're gonna be evil. And then the lyrics of the song the bankers sing talk about how the money will be invested in railways through Africa and dams across the Nile, which is a reference to like imperialism.
Jesus.
Yeah. So like the original Mary Poppins was no joke.
It's just good business.
Yeah.
It's good. Dam up the Nile.
Yeah. You'll be part of a railway through the Africa, dams across the Nile, fleets of ocean greyhounds, majestic self-amortizing canals, plantations of ripening tea. So that's what they're promising. So obviously it had the original Mary Poppins, no fucking joke, man. And in the closing moments of Mary Poppins Returns, so the whole premise of Mary Poppins Returns, this is another one of those like hook style things where you meet the child from the original movie and their life is all fucked up now.
Yep.
So in this case, Michael, the little boy who was wrestling with the banker, he is getting ready to lose the family home because he can't pay that same bank. His finances have fallen apart. He's about to lose the house, and then Mary Poppins returns and saves the day. But what really saves the day is that he had actually given that tuppence to the banker, and the banker wisely invested it. And so capitalism saves the day. And that original like criticism of capitalism was not well founded.
So idiots.
Right.
You idiots.
You fucking stupid
idiots.
You think
love is going to save you?
Right.
No, get a job.
So if the child had given his money to the needy bird lady like he wanted, his family would have been completely fucked and out of the home. But because the banker wrestled it out of his greedy little grubby hands and put it in the bank, responsibility came through. And yeah, it would be like making an Aladdin sequel that ends with people realizing that Jafar actually had like really cool ideas.
Jafar
and, like,
has
been
some solid points, right, if you'll hear him out.
I mean, he really does, actually, because like he's trying to take power away from a dude who like is just completely absent-minded and not taking care of his kingdom. So Jafar did deserve a little bit more respect.
But he looked meaner.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't trust him.
I know.
He looks mean.
That's right.
The look.
Anyway,
does Mary Poppins return though?
Yeah, Mary Poppins comes back.
Okay, I'm just I'm just from the title, I was concerned.
Yeah.
Is it a will she won't she thing?
No, she's back.
I thought it was like a gritty prequel.
Nah, man.
Yeah. Where she goes and she shuns being a nanny for a while and learns ninjutsu from.
Right.
I was hoping it'd be like Batman Returns and Liam Neeson. The Penguin would be in it. Catwoman.
Oh, right.
Anyway, well, or see, Superman, that's my jet lag brain.
And Brandon Routh would be.
Oh, man. He had a short career, huh?
I know.
I bet he appreciates you saying
that. I mean,
he's in the Zeit Gang. He's like, oh,
he's like, motherfucker.
Son of a bitch.
God, I can't escape
it. I actually
it.
Am one of the few people I ride for Superman Returns. I think it's a good movie. Everybody needs to back up.
Really?
I care yeah. about Superman.
I always loved Superman.
Yeah, that's, I mean, y'all got a similar look. I could see that.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
You should just start doing that Clark Kent little front curl.
The little front curl?
Yeah.
You could do that.
All right.
I never recognize you when your glasses are off.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, who's this dude?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I know who that is.
Okay. Yeah, then he has his shift down in front of the Chinese theater. It's Superman.
Hey, Billy Wayne. Hey, man. It's me.
Whoa, Superman.
My dad's like, or my son's like, my dad knows Superman.
It ain't him.
Well, Billy Wayne, it's been a pleasure having you.
Always is a pleasure.
As always. Where can people find you?
At Billy Wayne Davis.
All right.
Okay.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. Tim Dillon, very funny comedian from New York City, tweeted, once you accept that the need to express yourself publicly about everything is a sign of mental illness, all this makes more sense.
Huh. Yeah. That's a very good point. We're all fucked. Miles, it's also been a pleasure having you.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back,
thanks,
sir.
You
did it.
I have to go in my cryo chamber to just get my soul back.
Yeah. It was fun to watch you start talking in the middle of it, being like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm like, what's this show again?
I've been there.
Who's the president?
Because you get hyped when you land.
Mm.
You get hyped when you land.
And then you're weird for like 3 or 4 hours.
It's about to settle in about an hour. I'm going to not even know. Like, my eyes aren't going to see straight.
You should go smoke some weed at your house.
Yeah.
Did you smoke in front of the police station?
Hell no. My God.
I know. I was curious.
The laws are
I know.
They do not fuck around.
I know.
Around
you can make
there.
A lot of money selling
it. It's easier buying fucking plutonium.
It is.
Than it is buying weed over
Japanese
there.
Friends that get really high when they come to America.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, we just can't.
Well, and then Japan would be like, just so you know, even if you travel to countries where it is legal, we expect you to live by the rules of Japan. And it's like, okay, bro.
Yeah.
Don't go through my phone or else I will get arrested. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet that I like, what was a tweet that Anna read one earlier that was just so funny to me? From Zachary Fox, it says, my mom beat me and I turned out just fine. And then an asterisk, opens Tinder during a funeral. All right.
That seems too real, man. That seems like that scene actually took place.
But I guess it's also when you think about it, it's like, well, whose funeral? His
right.
mom's? Or just like someone like, you know, like a high school friend's parent?
Or his wife's.
Oh,
that would be real
shit.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's
a detail I would like to know.
He's like,
moving on.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Couple tweets I liked. Kanye West tweeted, spoke with Joe Rogan, podcast coming soon, 3 flame emojis.
Oh, yeah.
And Sean O'Neill tweeted, the modern day for sale, baby shoes never worn.
I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah, man.
I hope it's 12 hours long.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's going to look like, if Joe Rogan will just be like so confused, or he's going to be like, come on, man. You can't say that.
Right.
You know?
No, you, like, I think he's
going to
so be
like, chill.
You just let him talk.
Yeah,
I'm curious
yeah.
if they're going live.
Oof.
Because that's the part that makes it exciting.
Right. It'll be, you know, we'll see. It'll be a nail biter.
Because I will watch it live if they go live. That's like that Charlie Sheen thing. Remember that when streaming first came out and then
he started. Oh, was that when the Tiger Blood thing happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching that on the and being like, this
because he's hashtag winning.
It was.
Shout out to him. He just celebrated a year sober.
Good
for him.
Charlie
Sheen.
Yeah.
He's somewhat we should good for Charlie.
Yeah.
He never gets
Charlie
positive
Sheen.
Press.
Yeah.
Hell
even
yeah,
though
Charlie
he deservedly
even
so
a
mostly.
Mild abusive piece of shit though.
Mostly because he deserves bad press.
And wasn't he like spreading HIV around like the
probably.
Hey man, but shout out to him.
Yeah, you know, fuck.
He stopped for a while.
Right. Yeah. He has stopped doing that for a year. And also, I like Eugene Merman's tweet. Yesterday, my 2-year-old said, "I'm not your son. I'm a poop store." So it's going to be a good year. That is just some shit.
It's very accurate.
You know, it's true what they say. Kids do say the darndest things, you guys.
Don't they? Who said that?
I forget. Some guy who's never been wrong about anything ever. Anyways, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles.
Yeah.
He back.
He back.
What are we going to ride out on?
For a moment.
Yeah, for like the day.
Yeah.
We're going to give you the day off tomorrow so that you can catch up on your sleep.
Catch up on my sleep, and then I'll be back a little bit better. So sorry if I sound dead. This song is by a Japanese artist, Ichiko Aoba, and the song is called Mahoro Boshia. And it's like a little nice little acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter vibe. I was listening to it on the train ride to the airport and was just getting real nostalgic. Let this start your week off.
Could you ever live in Japan?
Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh hell yeah. It's wild though. Like when I was there, you can tell things are kind of starting to change because I feel like Tokyo is kind of becoming what London is for Europe, where from all over Europe converge on this place.
Right.
And it's the same thing there. And I could not believe how many tourists there were, to the point where, like, when I hear the Japanese, like, people speaking amongst themselves, it's a lot of like, yo, like, a lot of people are here. And certain areas are starting to be a little discriminatory, like, than, a little more than usual, where, like, a bar would be like, oh, Japanese people only.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Oh. And I'm like, but I am. So what you gonna do?
What did that? Did you do it like that?
No, one person. No. Because I was with a group of foreigners. So I was like, wait, y'all gonna have to go.
I'm gonna go later. You guys go.
But yeah, it's but regardless, I mean, for the most part, it's been pretty good. Pretty good time. Always a good time. When also no one lives here except for my mom on that side of the family. Everybody's in Japan. So I gotta go there to see everybody.
Cool. That's a good problem.
Yeah.
I think.
No, it's a great problem.
I mean, I'm sure there's like, you know, we wish
sure
we
could, I missed we could, them.
Yes, that problem.
But yeah, like, I miss as far my aunt, as
like,
you know.
Some people got to go back to like Iowa.
Right.
But you got to go.
Hey, man, shout out to Cedar Rapids. You
know, I do like Iowa, but if I had to choose.
Yeah. Do you like going home?
Yeah, I like Tennessee.
Yeah, see.
There's like a time limit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's no time limit for me. No cap.
That's different.
You know, I'm an international player, you know.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to ride out on Miles's sensitive Japanese singer-songwriter. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
I love you.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99.
Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.